Well, hello. It's been many, many long months, and there is so much to say and to catch you up on. Since the start of the Color Gap podcast over 4 years ago, the intention behind the work has always been to be reflective of the experiences of women of color in the workplace and beyond. The representation gap, the lack of access to spaces and places of influence for us, the desire to advocate on behalf of and empower Black, Indigenous, and other women of color to take up all the space we desire and deserve. That has been unchanged and continues to be unchanged. However, in 4 years, a lot of other things have changed that make the color gap in its current form just no longer as effective. The language and the landscape of the conversations on diversity, equity, and inclusion, and for a long while now, even the term women of color hasn't actually been reflective of the individual experiences of Black and Indigenous women in particular. And I've thought long and hard about how to ensure the voices and stories and perspectives of Black and Indigenous women are authentically included in the color gap, and recognized that even the title of the podcast and the focus has been somewhat limiting. Things have also changed significantly in my career and my life, moving into a new role in a new company in July 2022, further focusing professionally on diversity, equity, and inclusion in the workplace. And I've grown a lot as a person and as a professional, and I just have so much to say. But the current framework and structure of the color gap simply doesn't support that anymore. So I've decided to make a slight pivot and retire the color gap. And I'm really excited to introduce you to the Equity Gap podcast, which aims to speak to race, gender, and other intersections of marginalization in the workplace and beyond. My life's work is really anchored in influencing a more just world. And this is one way that I have the opportunity to advance the dialogue on the necessary conversations that I think need to happen to hopefully invite more people into the conversation. What ultimately really drives me is making you think, not necessarily changing your mind, but getting you to reflect and think about what I have to say about equity, about diversity, about inclusion in the workplace and beyond. And why equity? It's because not everybody has the same starting point in life, and a one-size-fits-all approach simply doesn't work. And you need equity to get to equality. Really, the number of people with marginalized identities working for your organization means absolutely nothing without representation in positions of real decision-making authority. And literally nothing will change without space being created for intentional decisions built on equity, not on equality. And by placing equity at the forefront of the dialogue on this platform, I really hope to inspire and compel all of us to think differently about the work of advancing inclusion in our workplaces and beyond. I'm also a person who stays really grounded in the possibilities, just another way of calling myself an eternal optimist. And I really believe, as Carolyn Miss says, that if you have life, you have purpose. And ultimately, the core of my purpose not only is to advance conversations around making a more just world, but it's also rooted in creating a more equitable world where every human has the opportunity to live a meaningful life, which requires equitable access to meaningful work. And what can you expect with the Equity Gap podcast? Well, it's a lot of the same type of conversations that you've come to expect from the Color Gap: challenging discussions, discomfort, addressing fallacies of organizations and many of their mostly performative approaches to equity and inclusion, A lot of organizations expect marginalized people to bring their full authentic selves to work. And that's not entirely possible when there are very unsafe spaces in our workplaces. I want to talk about white fragility and deconstructing how much white supremacy upholds the status quo, and just so much more. I'll explore topics like white people and allyship, challenging the traditional one-size-fits-all approach to leadership development. I'm going to talk about ADHD in racialized women, fat phobia and its deep ties to anti-blackness and white supremacy. I'm going to dive into cancel culture and talk a little bit about things like climate change and the connection to Indigenous ways of knowing. I also want to dig into topics like internalized white supremacy and anti-blackness amongst people of color, and things like the language we use to disguise racism, and so much more connected to what you have come to expect with expert interviews and customized career advice for Black, Indigenous, and women of color sprinkled in there. I also want to explore ways in which all of us as Black, Indigenous, and women of color can center joy in our lives, how we can advocate and empower ourselves to better understand the systems that we're forced to work within. Because once you know what you're up against, it becomes a little bit easier to navigate. And with anything I do, you'll always get my personal musings and the distinct insight that is pulled from my own personal and very chaotic at times professional journey. And as always, I will continue to center the voices and the stories and the experiences of Black, Indigenous, and women of color. And there is this sort of urgency within me to talk about the real things that hold us back from progress. Being in the space professionally for the last number of years, I've seen a lot. And a lot of what has really prompted this kind of more urgent call for talking more about the work of equity and inclusion in the workplace is the incredible influence of activists and change makers in the social justice and equity spaces. One such influence is the deeply profound Michelle Minjung Kim. And in her book, The Wake Up, she speaks to the importance of this work in a way that I could never articulate better. Michelle says that many living at the multiple intersections of marginalized identities are dead or in the process of dying because our systems and cultures were built to dehumanize, violate, exploit, and ignore those who don't conform to the norms of white supremacy. Marginalized people's anger, hurt, cynicism, and disappointment are palatable, as are feelings of fear, shame, confusion, and anxiety coming from well-intentioned people desperately wanting to catch up and be part of the solution. The temptation for people to throw their hands up and go about living their individual lives is substantial, not just for people with privileges to disengage, but also for people who are exhausted by the continued cycles of harm and misalignment, too. Our misalignment is costly, and our ability to connect with one another is in urgent need of inspection and serious repair. Oh, she just articulates exactly where my head is at. And I think for me to really do the work that I feel called to do is to help us bridge the gap between our good intentions and actionable change, to say what needs to be said with authority coupled with compassion, and ensuring those that need to advance the work, those that hold the most privilege amongst us, are called into the work. It's about challenging the systems that were built to replicate comfort and sameness. And that requires a really hard look at why we push back and when we resist when faced with new knowledge or insight into our own privileges. At the end of the day, there is this truly insidious way in which racism shows up in the workplace, especially in the Canadian context. Our surface and stereotypical politeness actually creates really harmful safe spaces for those in positions of power and authority to ultimately skirt accountability and resist change. I want to talk about all of these things, and I want to bring solutions to light and ultimately make sure that no Black, Indigenous, or woman of color ever feels alone in her experiences navigating workplaces that were built on the tenets of white supremacy. And it's quite funny because it's such a full circle moment for me to do this work in an even more raw, authentic, and honest way. I feel like the last 4 years have been a bit of a build up to get to here. Because I remember 4 years back when the idea of talking about the experiences of women of color in the workplace was so top of mind and fresh for me. I had just watched the relaunch of our Women's Employee Resource Group at the company I was at, and the proud introduction of three female leaders who were going to lead the charge, all backed up by a white male executive who I had deeply admired. It was a bit jarring for me to see the choices of three white women who were meant to represent the female experience of women at the company. And of course, it didn't sit right with me. It was this continuous cycle of organizations and people around me deeply invested in advancing women in the workplace, yet never doing anything to meaningfully acknowledge the experiences of anyone but white women. I was tired of playing the part of the model minority and staying in my lane. So I said something. I approached that executive and the chair of the Women's Network and advocated for change and ended up taking up space on that leadership team a short time later. It also was the first time I got really charged up about talking about this, that no one was meaningfully advancing conversations on equity beyond gender. And then I started asking for feedback from well-meaning mentors and leaders in my life on how to approach the work. And this is where I kind of went a little bit wrong. 4 years ago, I was ready to talk about the treatment that white women receive in the workplace, that they are the biggest beneficiaries of workplace equity and inclusion work. And yet no one was quite so comfortable with my intention to do it in a big way. I wanted to call my then untitled work, whether it was a podcast, an ebook, whatever it was going to be, How to Get Treated Like a White Woman. And I got shot down by many well-meaning white women in my life who were concerned that the approach was too much. I didn't have the courage then to do the work in my most authentic way, but I do now. And I hope you join me on this new journey and that you get the opportunity to learn and unlearn with me. I always say that the work of equity and inclusion is incredibly nuanced and requires a high degree of self-accountability and self-awareness and the desire to learn and do better. I'm always on a journey to learn and to evolve my own practices. And if you're part of this audience, I hope you are too. New episodes are released monthly, with the first episode available to listen to now. Chat soon.